When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rack. This rack happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Just a couple of days away from Christmas.
Yeah, let's go.
Already here. Christmas came early yet again for the Washington Commanders as Jaden Daniels leads his third game-winning drive of his rookie season. An absolutely masterclass demonstration, a cold as ice display as Jaden Daniels walks the Commanders down the field and throws an absolute dart into the end zone and takes the lead with 6 seconds left.
Yeah, that was it. The incredible part about that game is how it all played out with Jalen Hurts getting hurt early in the game, getting a concussion. And I think only attempting four passes.
Yeah, 1 of 4.
And then it turns into the Kenny Pickett show, which, whoa, Nelly, not great. And I think a lot of the Eagles fans and naysayers to Jalen Hurts, you see he can't operate that offense at a far more efficient level. Yet still, they were up 21-14 at half.
Because the Commanders could not hold on to the bleeping ball.
No. I mean, Jaden Daniels, for as good as he was in that fourth quarter especially, I mean, it was 27-14 heading into the fourth quarter, and you're like, gosh, the Eagles are just going to lean on them. They're going to continue to feed Saquon. He's going to may break Eric Dickerson's record today, for God's sakes, with the way that they were running the football. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jaden Daniels, goes unconscious in that fourth quarter, is efficient, is dynamic in keeping plays alive. And then, as you said, that dart in the back of the end zone to win the game and to seal it, that's a big-time play. And he has been making them all season long. And it is really fun to watch Daniels run away with a Rookie of the Year in what should be one of the tightest Rookie of the Year cases from top to bottom, when you look at how well all of these rookie quarterbacks are playing. And then guys like, dude, Bucky Irving.
It's been phenomenal. Well, exceptional last night.
He's been outstanding all season long. And last night, you can take that game and you could say, yeah, it wasn't outstanding. The dude carried the ball 16 times for 68 yards and a touchdown. But the runs that he is able to make, he is running downhill, aggressive. He's a good receiving back out of the backfield.
Oh, no, he's been very good. I'm not taking away from him. I'm taking away the Bucs. They were
just, the Bucs losing that game is inexcusable. But, that was the weirdest damn play at the end of the game where Baker Mayfield makes an insane, and Baker Mayfield to do that, how strong he is, and then to flip the ball out to Rashad White, only to have it in like that, you're going, oh my goodness. Whatever the Chiefs' juju is,
that's the opposite.
Tampa had it last night. But you're looking at it and you're going, this rookie class has been
bonkers.
Absolutely insanity.
This may sound like sacrilege. This might be 1983. all over again.
Way too early to say. I think top to bottom, though.
But coming out of the gates.
Even the position players, you're looking at it going, oh my gosh, this draft class was loaded. And I think one thing we need to talk about, though, is a lot of these guys benefited from having an extra year in college.
Mm-hmm. None of them are young guys. None of them.
If you look at Jaden Daniels, five-year guy, mm-hmm. right? The young guys are Caleb and Drake May, right?
But even then, Caleb's not that young.
But Bo Nix, a six-year guy. Michael Penix Jr., the oldest of them all. He looked really damn good.
And he got screwed over last night.
You know, you think of the guys that are playing really well, and we mentioned the quarterbacks, but the impact that Joe Alt had early in the mm-hmm. year, and then he got dinged up, and he's still on a Chargers mm-hmm. team that's really damn good, though.
Roma Dunze is starting to figure it out.
Malik Nabers, before he got hurt, was the only redeeming quality of the New York Giants offense. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been really slow, and I think what we saw yesterday was a massive, like the last five games, Kyler Murray's been awful.
Yeah, they need to move on from Kyler.
That's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah.
Really,
there's something going on between him and Marvin.
But Brock Bowers and how good he's been in Las Vegas, he deserves that to be like in any other year. It'd be like, hey, Brock Bowers, rookie of the year.
Oh, he'd run away with it if not for what Bo and Jaden have done.
Dallas Turner in Minnesota mm-hmm. has been really solid and steady. Like you go down the list,
Fisk, the defensive lineman, he's been
first
phenomenal.
Round is just littered with guys that. They're not good. They're really damn
really
good.
Really good, bordering on great. Year. And the thing about Jaden Daniels is five touchdowns yesterday.
Yep.
But also ran for 81 yards. That game-winning drive, he did everything.
Everything.
Took it and run. I mean, the juke move, he stuck on that linebacker. Oh, God. I felt bad for him. It was like, oh, no, buddy.
Dude.
I get trying to, he's not Lamar Jackson, but it's real close to it.
The best thing that they could have too is the fact that Cliff Kingsbury might not want to ever be a head coach again because he's seen it hasn't gone well for him.
Yeah. Just like
let me
call plays for this dude. There is a connection here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but what I was just stunned by was Jaden Daniels' composure.
Yep.
They only have one timeout. One timeout. They get up to the line. They execute. There is one play where Crowder didn't get the alert.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels goes to throw, and it's not a pump. It is he's letting it go, and he's able to hold on to the ball, tuck it, and go, and get positive yards out of a play. They end up getting like 4 yards out of a play instead of either taking a sack or throwing a pick. And for him to make that play in that moment, I was like, oof. That was tough.
Special.
Then the next play, he shakes free, breaks off, gets the first down. He gets him in, you know, up again. Another completion, middle of the field. They're not worried about it yet. They keep marching. They keep marching. They finally get to the spot where, like, hey, we're going to go for this here. We're going to run the ball here. We're going to call a timeout, and then we're going to get into it. And I think it was 10 seconds to go at the 12. And you essentially had two shots at the end zone. But he only needed the one. He uses his eyes, and now the middle linebacker did a pretty poor job of sliding with him. Looked like he was trying to jump the underneath route of maybe the inside receiver there. But Jaden Daniels puts that ball exactly where it needs to be. And every single play on that drive, every single one of them, he was perfect.
Yep.
And for a rookie to look that good, I mean, man, that's tough.
Yeah, and all of the rookie quarterbacks have had those moments and had those spots. Jaden Daniels has had a whole hell of a lot of them, and now sitting there at 10-5, you're looking at a team that is in playoff position right now. And the NFC playoff picture with that win, boy, the sliding doors of that one of if Jalen Hurts can play an extra quarter of that game. You know, is that game too far out of reach for Washington? And if they improved to 13-2, with what the Lions did to the Bears, and the fact that the Minnesota Vikings continue to win, the loss for the Eagles may have made it more exciting down the stretch because the very last game of the year is going to be the Lions and the Vikings, and that could be that for the number one overall seed.
Dun 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 dun.
In the NFC, that is awesome. And there's going to be so much drama because Jaden Daniels had ice water running through his veins. They improved to 10-5. That is an incredible season. Now you have the position jockeying between Washington and Green Bay, and Green Bay's got a big one tonight. They should absolutely blow the doors off of the New Orleans Saints, though. Dome team going to Lambeau. Oof. It's going to be cold. I think it's supposed to be foggy, like freezing fog.
That's
rolling through Lambeau. Let's go, baby. So they should take care of the Saints, and they'll be 11-5 or 11-4 with two games to play, and their final two are against the Vikings and the Bears. Dude, sign me up. This is going to be awesome down the stretch in the NFC for the playoff picture. The bottom teams of it were looking pretty doo-doo at the beginning, but now it's shaping up to be a pretty good little field there. Think of it. Detroit 13-2. Minnesota 13-2, Philly 12-3, Green Bay about to be 11-4, 10-5 Washington. Okay, the only duds out of that are going to be your winner of the NFC South. Atlanta right now is 8-7, and that move to Michael Penix Jr. may pay dividends for them moving forward. If they can catch the damn ball, he would have been a lot better. The Rams and Seahawks battling out for the NFC West.
Well, let's get to those next. Let's talk Falcons and Penix, and then Seahawks and Vikings, and kind of what it means for that NFC playoff picture and what it means for the Falcons going forward.
Tough for the Seahawks.
Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
It took a little longer than most people anticipated, but it happened. Big Penix injury, Big Penix energy came to life for the Falcons. And I don't know if you saw it, Dusty, pregame, Kirk Cousins gassing up Michael Penix in the tunnel. Both are men of faith, and they were both praying together before they went on the field. I thought it was a pretty cool gesture for Cousins to be right there for him as he ran out on the field.
Yeah, it was.
He didn't have to do it.
He said right after, Michael Penix, that is, said right after he found out he was going to be the starter that Kirk Cousins called him and said, look, this sucks, but we need to get this thing on the right track.
Yeah.
And we can't be a team that is going to be divided, so I'm going to support you 100%. And professional bag-getter Kirk Cousins, he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty cool. That is cool that he is supporting a Penix because he knows, first of all, he's going to get like $90 million fully guaranteed no matter what happens.
And
that's security. That's good.
I believe it was Schefter said that they're going to let him go.
They should.
Because he has a roster bonus he's not going to get.
March 16th, and every team in the NFL is okay, we'll just wait. He's going to leverage you. He's going to Derek Carr you. Yeah. He's going to Russell Wilson you. You're going to have no play here. And then Kirk Cousins will probably go and get a bag, go somewhere else. And what he should do is the Russell Wilson, go dirt cheap somewhere, mm-hmm. knowing that you're just going to live off the money, play for 2 years.
Do the offset and be fine.
Boom.
Yeah.
Get back and leave on a high note on a really good roster that needs a quarterback that can just get the ball down the field. Kirk Cousins can do that for you. He can do that for you. But Penix was really damn good. And it was the biggest thing for quarterbacks when they get their first start is, can they keep up with the speed of the game? We saw all of these rookies early in the year, whether it was Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or, Drake May when he got in. Jaden Daniels really didn't have this.
No.
But that speed of the game was too fast. And I think the allowing Michael Penix Jr. to sit back, watch the first 13 games mm-hmm. of the year and just be like, no, I'm just a passive observer of what is happening here. That helped him tremendously because you saw him manipulating coverage with his eyes, going through a progression 1-2-3, getting the ball into the right spot. And despite the fact his numbers weren't big, what he was doing was really good.
And his numbers should have been better because Kyle Pitts, somebody greased his palms with the slipperiest oil known to man because Penix threw him a dime out in the flat for what should have been an 8-yard touchdown, and he went whoop, 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 and then the ball ended up in the defender's hands for an interception.
There were 4 drops in that game that were pretty bad, and for Kyle Pitts, it's everybody's like, well, who? Maybe Michael Penix going to be the guy that unlocks him.
Maybe it's a Kyle Pitts thing.
He's really good, but you got to be able to come down with the football. That's the most important part.
That was tough.
If you're receiving tight end. But they steamroll the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. The Giants are in it in a very bad way.
Boy, is Drew Lock bad.
Drew Lock did not look great.
Oof.
Drew Lock looked very bad. And you feel for anybody that is a New York Giants fan. Actually, I don't.
I don't.
I really don't. They're in a bad way for a quarterback, and they're going to get Shedeur Sanders, likely. Is Deion going to be the coach of the Giants?
Oh, God.
Are the Giants a team that Deion will not let Shedeur play for?
I would imagine so, because there is that thing about the Giants and black quarterbacks that has been there forever.
What, that they haven't had one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, didn't they have Tyrod Taylor as backup for a while?
Yeah, I should say as an opening day starter.
There's a video, I believe it's the Giants GM, where they're like at practice and Deion's like, you stay away from Travis and Shedeur, but you can go talk to Shiloh.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. But I mean, overall, Penix debut, good?
Yes. I thought it was a really good debut for a guy who
should have finished with probably 210 yards and a touchdown, no picks, you know, a really high completion percentage. And to me, the throw of the game for him, did you see the dig that he threw? Where he threw back shoulder to keep his wide receiver from getting his head torn off?
That's big. He would throw high in college, mm-hmm. though. And that was one of the ones where it's like, God, he can't do that in the NFL. He didn't.
No.
He didn't yesterday.
He protected his guys yesterday.
And he was quick throwing to the out. Giants suck, but Michael Penix was really good.
Also, it's fun to watch left-handed quarterbacks.
I disagree with that.
Really?
I don't like left-handed quarterbacks.
Oh, I always think it looks better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Penix and Vic both they snap the ball.
I think their arm looks like they're right-handed trying to throw a left.
Oh, God. Now, see,
throwing
Tua doesn't look right.
It's always way too far outside and doesn't come over the top. I don't like
that. I always liked Vic and Penix the way they threw the ball.
I am.
Tua looks weird to me.
I am leftist. I only like right-handed quarterbacks.
You're rightist.
Yeah.
You're anti-left.
I'm a righty. Yeah, I'm anti-left.
You're anti the left.
I'm anti-left.
All right, the other side of this, in the NFC.
So I'm a leftist.
Leftist.
I'm a leftist. Only like right now, starting pitcher, give me a lefty all day.
Oh, God, yeah.
Give me a lefty all day. I love a lefty. Give me a lefty closer.
You're pro southpaw, anti the left.
Yeah, yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking of making all the sense in the world, the Vikings, Sam Darnold does it again.
Dude, Sam. The Minnesota Vikings are an awesome story.
I mean, and he's playing on one leg.
Like, they have a far tougher road because the Lions get San Francisco. We all know the San Francisco story
cooked.
Right now. They are cooked to the nth degree. Minnesota still have to go through Green Bay, and then they finish up the season with the Lions. But the Lions, they went the route of, screw it, everybody's hurt on defense. We'll just score more points, mm-hmm. and we'll give up a ton of yards and say, Bears can't score in the red zone.
No.
And they didn't.
No.
And it was 34-17. They rolled Chicago and used fake plays where they yelled fumble.
God.
That was awesome. But if this lines up to be the number one seed in the NFC, plays on week 18 of the NFL, I'm here for it.
Yes.
And it'll be awesome if we get Lions and Vikings. But the Vikings, this is going to be a fun game.
You had Justin Jefferson have another monster game.
Just yeah.
Absolutely go crazy. So it'll be fun here to talk about. We'll get into that game and more here coming up here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. I don't care
about the present. Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This NFL season has been full of ups and downs. The NFC West turning into what it has turned into, I don't think anybody saw this coming. Number one, the 49ers falling to complete and utter shambles.
Yeah, that's the big one right there.
Oof, ooh, dog.
That's the biggie.
The other one, though, is that it looked like maybe there might be something more to the Seahawks early on. Looked like maybe the Cardinals. And instead, you're at this spot now where it's just a whole lot of and nobody really seizing a hold of this other than the Rams in a weird about roundabout way.
Well, you've seen both the 49ers and the Cardinals say, yeah, no, we're good. We're out. We're going to opt out of this. The Cardinals made a little bit of a push. They had a 4-game win streak at one point in the year, but the bottom has fallen out of them. The 49ers are beaten to oblivion. And like the crazy thing about them, they're 6-9 right now. Mm-hmm. And
they're going to finish, you know, a minus 18 point differential.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're still a talented team.
They have the same point differential as the 9-6 Rams.
It's crazy. But the Seahawks, they are running into this when they play really good teams, they lose, right? That has been their story all season long. Really good teams they've played. Lions, loss. Bills, loss. Packers, loss. Vikings, loss. This one was the closest of those four really good teams that they've played, and taking Minnesota and dragging them into deep water, you thought that you were going to give yourself a chance to win the football game, and a costly turnover at the end that even the defensive back that picked it off said, I can't believe Geno Smith threw that ball. Like that, he said, we had too high coverage. I was as surprised as you guys were that he threw the football. But if you throw the ball right to me, I'm going to pick it off. And that's exactly how that game ends up being put on ice by the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota showed that they got a little bit of chutzpah to them when they go on the road. And look, for Seattle, now you've got a really tough two games that you've got to go navigate, because you go to Chicago. It's not that you're playing the Bears. That's not the hard part. You're having to go on the road. And that's a
in
team
Chicago.
That is young. And they have a lot to prove with Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams looked really damn good against Detroit.
Yeah, he probably made his two best throws of the season.
But then after that, like, you are in can't lose, and you have to end the year. We were talking about how awesome it is that the Lions and the Vikings are going to be playing on the last game of the season for the number one seed in the NFC on the line.
Rams, Seahawks.
You could have the NFC West decided in Week 18, the very final game of the season. Because what needs to happen for the Seahawks in order for them to win is they need to win out no matter what.
And they need the Cardinals to knock the Rams down a peg.
If the Rams lose out, they can win. But there's no chance of the Seahawks getting a wild card because of the way that everything's broke in the NFC the last couple of weeks. But if Seattle wins out, they have to hope that they get some other teams and they get the strength of victory tiebreaker. If the Rams don't stumble against the Cardinals in week 17, there's still
a
chance.
How deep is that down there?
I don't know.
Is that like fourth tiebreaker?
I have no idea.
Yeesh.
But they would, at that point, you would see they would have split their season series. So you go down to the next tiebreaker and you're going to have to go division record, whatever. Strength of victory is what it would have to come down to if they want a chance to win. But it comes down to, you're in playoff mode from here on out if you're Seattle. The good news is you get a Bears team that is clunky on defense, but a quarterback and in an offense that feels like they have a lot of meat left on the bone, even though they've been eliminated from playoff contention. And they fought against Detroit, man. They did. They ended up getting beat by a boatload.
Yeah.
But because they couldn't stop anything.
No.
The Matt Eberflus, since he's gotten fired,
their defense has been dumpster fire.
Terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible. So as bad as he was as a head coach, they were meal piecing that thing together on the defense side of the ball, and the wheels have fallen off on that side. So for Seattle, that loss to Minnesota, that stings a lot. Because think of how different we're thinking of this final stretch for Seattle.
9-6, yeah.
If they're 9-6 and tied atop the division, and you get the Bears and finishing up with the Rams in that head-to-head, it'd be that much more exciting. There still is a way for them to win the division, even if the Rams don't win, or even if the Rams do win against the Cardinals this week, which I assume that's going to happen because Kyler Murray looks like a guy who's quit.
Yeah,
he is a guy who will roll over.
Yeah, for sure. You want to talk about some Saturday games?
Yeah.
Because we haven't even talked about those. And those are probably the most important games of the weekend as far as how things shaped up for the rest of the season, particularly on the AFC side. Texans Chiefs, good game?
No. Yeah, it was.
Good game?
It was. No, that was a good game. That Tank Dell injury.
Oh, God, dude.
Especially since you get a little bit of that friendly fire kind of coming in at the end of that thing.
I can't believe he held on to the ball.
ACL dislocated kneecap for Tank Dell.
Yeah, he's out for a year.
The criticisms of CJ Stroud, like being emotional over that, come on, get over yourself.
It's his best friend.
Yeah. And I don't care.
I mean, it's his best friend, and it is very clearly like a nasty injury.
And he knew he was done. Everybody knew he was done. Kneecap going the wrong way. Not going to be back this year.
And to be honest, CJ Stroud probably feels some sense of guilt about that because of where he put the ball. He shouldn't, but that's just the nature of it.
Here's where I think that was a good game and really worth it is not that it was drama filled at the end. It was a one possession game, but you saw a Chiefs offense that put up numbers, right? 364 yards of total offense. They have been winning with their offense looking lethargic, with their offense not being crisp. 17 points in the first half. In the NFL, you're going to take that.
Oh, God, yeah.
You saw a little bit of those flashes when you have Isaiah Pacheco back, who wasn't dynamic by any stretch, but you're starting to see Hollywood Brown gets into the action, coming off the IR, 5 catches, 45 yards. You're starting to see
8 targets.
Of this. We're waiting for them to get their pieces back, and how is Patrick Mahomes going to look? It wasn't perfect, but that is not a bad Texans defense, and you were able to move the ball very efficiently and effectively. You score 27 points on him. And Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what to think of Patrick Mahomes. Is Patrick Mahomes maybe just a little bit dramatic with his injuries?
Probably.
That man did not look hurt.
No.
That man did not look hurt. For a guy who has a, albeit mild, high ankle sprain, he looked
bouncy.
Yeah, those legs look just fine. I think he's slow playing everybody, to be honest.
Could be something that's there.
Yeah. I thought it was a good game, though. And for Kansas City, they're 14-1. This is what elite teams do, man. And this one wasn't an ugly one.
No. No, it wasn't. It was a one-possession game, but it was not a ugly one, as you call it.
You pick C.J. Stroud off twice. Your offense moves the ball very well. 260 through the air, 124 on the ground. That's a great win.
They threw the ball all over the field. Yep. That was the thing to me. It was to everyone.
Spread it around.
And that's looked more Chiefsian, as it were. Uh-huh. The other game here, Ravens Steelers, not particularly close in the second half.
That's stupid over.
That's right. You did. You took the over in that, huh?
No, I took the under. Yeah.
Because the weather was supposed to be nasty.
Russell Wilson throws a pick six to Marlon Humphrey. Come on.
Not Lamar Jackson's most prolific performance, but masterclass, as it were, doing exactly what you need to do in that game. The thing that stood out to me was, you know, as much love as we've given Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry is still an absolute monster.
And this
time of year, there is nothing that matters more than what that man can do. And that is just give him the ball. I mean, 24 carries for 6.8 yards. And yes, he broke the 140 yarder. But even if you take that away, it's 23 carries for a .120.
Not too shabby.
That is just against a Steelers team that doesn't get run on.
Yep. I have my worries and my concerns about Pittsburgh, though. And this is where it kind of came to a head. The lack of offense against a defense that has given up yards. They've given up points all season long. And when it came down to crunch time, Russ throws the pick six to Marlon Humphrey. They ran the ball very effectively, but they turned the ball over against this Baltimore defense. You lose the turnover battle, you're going to lose the game. And that's what this one came down to, is Baltimore was plus one, and the plus one turned into 6 points, right? You had a fumble by, I think, Jaylen Warren fumbled, but they recovered it.
There was like five or six fumbles in the game, but there was only one fumble lost.
Yeah, and then, well, it was Russell Wilson, though, too. And this is where I have my real concerns about the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, and George Pickens matters, man. George Pickens matters a lot to them, and you saw that play out in this game. But that's a big win for Baltimore. As you look, we were talking about the playoff standings right now, dude. The AFC, it's top heavy, but Baltimore's going to be scary come playoff time. I would not want to play this Baltimore
team. Are you kidding me?
Would not want to play this Baltimore team at all.
Josh Allen probably has the MVP award wrapped up at this point in time, but it's not like Lamar Jackson didn't have something to say about it.
No, no, he didn't put up gaudy numbers, but he didn't need to. And I love watching Lamar Jackson play football.
It's both those guys are really are incredible.
Yep.
And I hope, just for narrative's sake, one of those teams, the Ravens or the Bills, win the Super Bowl just so I can stop hearing about Mahomes and the Chiefs for a season.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because I'm petty.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I don't care.
They call you Tom?
I mean, Uncle Tom at this point in time. And I am old and grumpy, and I want to be petty about it. I don't want the Chiefs to be the team that went 3 in a row. I don't want to see it. I am rooting for whoever is playing the Chiefs.
Is this just because you hate Taylor Swift?
Oh,
wow.
Is the truth coming out now?
Wow. I'm ambivalent.
I don't think you can be ambivalent to Taylor Swift.
I think you can.
I love Taylor Swift.
You either have
this is Danny talking. Send all of your hate to Danny on the from the Swifties.
There you go.
I love Taylor Swift. I think she's amazing. I think everything that she does is great. Swifties, don't come at me.
You can come at me. It's fine. I got a lot of hate in my heart. I will say I saw a video of her. I saw a video of her dancing.
Yeah.
And somebody like quote tweeted that was on social media of like nobody out there really dances like this. And I was like, I've seen a lot of like 8-year olds dance like that.
A lot. Well, because they get it from Taylor.
Yeah, I'm like, look,
she's a role model.
Look, man, she's not Chris Brown. All right. Yeah.
You know,
it's okay.
The Swifties are probably the most aggressive fan base right now.
Ooh,
the Bayhive. Well, no, that's where I'm going. The Bayhive, very quiet. Very quiet.
Could there be something in the news?
Suspiciously. Well, quiet
can't
the
be because
is.
Lamar Jackson talked about watching her at halftime in the next game because she's playing Christmas Day.
Oh boy!
Do you think she does any of her songs with Jay-Z?
No, don't think that's gonna fly. Bayhive, real quick. Yeah, I thought
as it aside, did you guys
I
watch
thought for sure they were going to try to silence all of this? They are not. The Bayhive has taken a step out.
Did you guys watch the joke exchange Saturday Night Live?
Gosh. I saw it.
Yes.
Oh. My goodness.
Yeah. It's something.
That was the most vicious those two have gone at each other. And let me just real quick.
That was brutal.
Phenomenal.
It even got Scarlett Johansson to swear on network television.
Yeah. Multiple times. Yeah. They only caught the second one. She has a potty mouth.
I mean, if that were you in that situation, you probably would too.
You're a mother, Scarlett.
It was hilarious. To a baby that looks nothing like Colin Jost.
Oh, my gosh. They got aggressive there.
Unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap things up, a little more college football talk, and then hand you off to whoever's here for Isaac and Suk.
Me.
Oh, there you go. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Oh, you know what stands out in a white Christmas? A really, really heavily dyed black beard.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Among the reasons for Ryan Day to be fired, having a horribly dyed black beard is very high for me.
I can't wait until I'm going to get a good look at it at the Rose Bowl.
To see just how much, like, if his skin is dyed underneath.
What if it's not?
It's impossible.
Why?
It is impossible.
He's got black hair.
It is impossible to be that. Because there's pictures of him with gray hair.
Well, I don't know.
There's pictures of him with gray hair like 3 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's jet black.
Yeah.
Your hair cannot be that color ever.
Yeah. I'm trying to look.
Yeah. I dated a Persian girl when I was in the Air Force. Her hair was like as dark as a black hole. And even his facial hair is darker than that.
The thing that gets me is that his beard has gotten thicker.
Mm-hmm.
In that,
he's using the sauce. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just own it.
I'm not seeing any gray. Like he has a gray patch in it.
Yeah.
On the chin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go. I'll do some investigative journalism here. Yeah.
When you get down there,
I'm looking at all the pictures. Like when he just had a goatee, it's always been super black. But he's got that one little gray patch. Mm-hmm. Ooh, gray patch gone.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna get a good look at this.
Jet black, dude. It's like,
dude, it is.
It's like, come on, man. Let's not.
I'm just trying to give Ryan Day a little bit of a win here.
No, it's okay, dude. Look, if you're gonna do a little brush in, it's fine.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's just gotten so thick lately.
It's just, you know, I mean, he's using the beard oils and all the things that make it come in. He's probably using some other stuff along that, like,
I'm here.
Look, I am not against doing a little brush in work. I haven't done it yet. I told you on Friday, if I ever talk about going down that path, remind me what I told you.
And what if we never are wrong about this. It, though?
There's no way.
I don't have hair.
Wait, got one. Yeah, there's one where it is very gray here.
It like salt and pepper.
Gray here. No, it's like gray.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, oh boy.
See, I don't have red hair,
just let
but
it
I have
be
a red
gray
beard.
Then.
It's okay.
Yeah. There's one that's really
like again. Do a little brush in. I got no problem with that. You just can't. You can't go triple zero black.
Yeah, I'm looking at how gray it.
Oh once my god! Was. Yeah, no, that thing's yeah.
I mean that's what makes it egregious is how gray
it
once was. I don't ever remember seeing it gray, but now
because you know what happened, he saw that picture and went, "Oh no,
you can't do that."
Oh no. If you're gonna do it, you gotta go full Urlacher, and embrace it.
Well, I'm full on with support the gray hair. Like,
look,
if you have it,
I got
just
grays
let
in
it
mine,
go
man.
Gray.
It's fine.
Just like, let it go gray.
The side of my head is basically white now.
Yeah,
it happens.
I mean, maybe it's to deflect from the other shots that he's been taking lately.
And that's the thing is he's been taking lots of shots, and you know, Mr. Ohio State. Kirk Herbstreit went to bat for him
during the final like minute and a half of the Tennessee game. Mm. Like this was the end of the game.
Now, Kirk, how much of this softens the blow of that Michigan loss? More work to do, right, for folks to forgive and forget that one.
I can't speak on behalf of the lunatic fringe. I'm not sure how they operate. Yeah, the lunatic fringe at Ohio State is as powerful as anywhere in the country.
How big is the fringe?
It used to be 8 to 10. I think it's grown now to about 15 to 20. So I don't know. You know, I'm sure they'll be happy tonight.
1,000?
Be fired up about what the Ohio State team did. But God forbid they lose to Oregon. They may want to fire them again.
But that's not reality. I mean, that's the thing. When you hear pundits on this network and other places talk about that with certainty, it's nonsense, frankly. I mean, the public doesn't pull the trigger and get rid of the coach.
No.
The administrators do, and they're behind them.
Yeah. First Take tried to fire him. They thought he was done. So I'll be excited to see what they talk about on Monday after this performance. They had him out. They're trying to find replacements. But here he is. There he is. He's still got his hat on. He's still coaching.
I mean, is that surprising?
No, not from Kirk. But that lunatic fringe, he's talking percentages of the fans.
Yeah, it's thousands of people, not 15 total people.
Or 15,000. Yeah. It's like 15%. And that's the thing, is like, we talked about this last week. The guy is now 67-10 as the head coach.
But the losses he does have, boy, are they the most hurtful kind.
They are, and they have the ability to shake a lot coming up in the Rose Bowl. I can't wait to talk about this game. Until I will be back on Friday. You are out until the following week.
Indeed.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, brother. You too.
Merry Christmas to you, Will Ortner.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
All of the
whatever
things.
You celebrate.
Or don't.
Happy holidays to you. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their house to your ears. It's primetime with Buck and Ortner right here on The Fan. See ya, folks.
Bye.